Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hey, I'm Allie Colbert. I'm a stand-up comedian, actress, and writer from New York City.
And I'm Jackie Colbert.
I have made my career as a comedian by using my insights and wit to make points. Funny points, but points. Look, I have good taste and too much common sense for just myself, so I'm going to share it with you guys.
Okay, Allie, get over yourself.
And my younger sister and best friend Jackie is here to bring me back down to earth. Every Tuesday, Jackie and I are going to hang out with each other and some of our favorite people. And of course, respond to your questions and confessions. So send in your secrets. It's like church, but I'm Jewish and bisexual. Tune in every Tuesday for a new episode. Subscribe, rate, review. You know the drill.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to RealPod. I'm Victoria Garrick, former D1 athlete and mental health and body image advocate. Every Wednesday, I'll be bringing you awesome guests, weekly inspiration, and the realest conversations around everything and anything. Now let's get real. Welcome back to RealPod, everybody. This is not just any episode, but this is a very special episode to me because so many freaking things are happening today on the podcast. First of all, we are at 100 episodes. I cannot even believe that. 100 episodes of RealPod. Like, I'm at a loss for words. I cannot believe over 100 weeks RealPod has been out there and you guys have been listening. It is just crazy to hit this milestone. And not only are we at 100 episodes, but we have surpassed 1 million downloads. Whoa. It's like, I don't even know what to do when I get excited on the podcast because I want to scream, but I realize that you guys are listening to this in your ears. So I'm like, whoa, because I don't want to be like, ah, but really I've been screaming since I realized all these things. I also just want to say thank you so much for listening to my podcast. Like literally, I can't express what it means to know that you enjoy this show and you listen to it. I mean, you choose to listen to it. You take the time out of your day to press play on these episodes. And truly, that means so much to me. And whenever I meet someone and they say, oh, I listened to your podcast, I like double take. And I'm like, oh my God, thank you. I just literally, this show means so much to me. And to know that you're on the other side of it every single week, showing up and taking the time to listen and hear what I have to say and what my guests have to say, and to really meet us in this space of realness and vulnerability and just being absolutely no filter means the world. I mean, to have your support and this celebration day would not be here if it weren't for each and every one of you who takes the time to listen. So please know how grateful I am for you all, because I deeply understand that this milestone would not have been achieved without you. So today we are celebrating 100 episodes and 1 million downloads. So make sure you head over to the Instagram at RealPod because we're doing some special stuff there. And also on the episode today, I thought we could do something that I've always wanted to do on the show. And the timing's never felt right. But then the 100th episode, 1 million download celebration came around. And I was like, yep, this is the time. This is the episode. Today on the podcast, we are flipping the script a little bit. And I am handing over the mic to my best friend, Aubrey. She's been on episodes where I did friend check-ins. She came on by herself and we talked about our friendship. And she also was featured in my engagement episode with Max. So Aubrey is back and she is going to interview me. I know. I'm really excited to do this because in this really funny, ironic way, I've created this place for other people to come on and be real and share their story and what's on their heart. And I love doing that. And recently I was thinking, I want to do that too. You know, I want to give myself an opportunity to be really real with you all. And sometimes when I do a solo episode, it's hard to just do that and talk by yourself. And so I thought it could be really special and fun to have Aubrey interview me. And to those of you who follow the @RealPod account, you were able to submit questions for Aubrey to use. So she's going to be using some of your questions today, some of her questions. And we're going to jump into this episode. That is an interview of me. So can't wait for you all to hear me in this light today. I am definitely getting open. Like what you're going to hear today is what I would tell you if you FaceTimed me IRL. So I'm really holding nothing back. I'm being vulnerable in this episode. I'm still figuring out and working on these things. This was only recorded like literally a week ago. So I got a therapy appointment coming up soon. You'll still hear about that. So anyways, I'm just going to, you know what? You're going to hear me talk a lot this episode. So we'll just jump right into it. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Real Pod. I'm Aubrey Cavillo. I am so excited to be interviewing my best friend for her 100th episode of Real Pod with over a million downloads.
Ooh, exciting stuff. Technically, this is actually episode like 117 because I did not have my life together when we hit 100. But it's okay. We can just, you know, we're pretending.
The last thing I would describe Victoria as is not having her life together, but that's okay. We'll overlook that.
I'm like so nervy right now.
I'm so nervous.
I'm like anxious. I know this is like so weird.
We're literally laying on the bed, just staring at each other.
I was debating if I should sit up in a chair because I'm like, I need to be focused. And then I just feel like I, in general, am way too, it has to be perfect. And I just sit up and I'm just like, I need to just relax, you know?
Yeah. Okay, well, let's start with how I thought this episode was going to go. When Victoria asked me to do this, I thought we were going to be talking about her journey up until this point and how she became an influencer. And Victoria was like, no, let's do a interview today about how I am right now.
Yeah.
Because I feel like no one ever asks you that.
Right. And that was so funny that even as my best friend, you're like, okay, cool. So we'll talk about like the TED Talk and then how you grew. And I'm like, No. I'm like, I want this.
Ask me how I am.
How I am now. Like, I feel like I've been telling the same story over and over again for 4 years now. And it's not like, of course I recognize how my experiences as a college athlete and sharing those experiences allow me to be here today. But recently I've really felt a disconnect between this version of me that lives in the past.
Totally.
And who people think of me as. And I'm in a different place now. And it's like the reason why I don't want to do a lot of podcast interviews anymore, because people will reach out, will you do an interview for my project? Will you be my podcast? And I'm always telling Elise, who helps me with all the book, I'm like, no. I'm like, I don't want to do one because I know it's going to be an hour out of my day where I sit down and someone goes, okay, Victoria, so when you first stepped foot on USC's campus, and I just sit there like, oh, with like a knot in my stomach, like, I've said this 100 times, and it's been hard for me too with the public speaking, because recently before a talk I gave at Ithaca, it was virtual though, I like had a breakdown. I was like crying all day long because part of me just dreaded having to reshare this story about a time in my life that was so dark for me.
Totally.
And it's this weird thing where like I've built a platform out of it that I love and I'm so grateful for, but I am struggling to shift to exist now.
No, totally. I think that people overlook the fact that your story didn't start and end at USC volleyball with the stuff that you talk about in colleges. Like, it's grown so much since then. And I feel like, knowing you as a person, like, you are a completely different person in the best way.
Right.
And I think there's more to be said in an interview right now with you than when you were in your darkest place.
It was just funny though, because when you said that, you're like, so I'll do this. I'm like, no. I'm like, can we just talk about like how I am today and my life now? And so I am excited to do this, because when people do interview me on their podcast and they start with like this whole narrative about USC volleyball, I'm just thinking to myself, oh my God, I'm like, you could get such a better interview out of me if you just like ask me, how are you doing today?
Yeah.
Like,
so but, let's freaking do the thing right now.
Okay.
We'll get that interview right now. Okay. How would you describe yourself and your profession and your career all in one breath?
Okay, let's start with the profession. It depends who I'm talking to. Like, it really does, because I could say a million things. Like, I could be like, oh, I'm a former TED Talk speaker, or I'm a current public speaker, and I visit universities and talk about mental health. I could say I'm a social media influencer. I could say I'm a content creator if I think they're going to view the word influencer weird.
You're talking so fast.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I know.
You're never being interviewed.
I know.
I'm like, you're talking at the speed of light.
I have so much to get out about who I really am.
You only have an hour to do it.
Okay, so. I'm taking a deep breath. Okay, there's a lot of things that I can say about what I do. Something, though, that comes to mind is, obviously, regardless of if it's a TED Talk speaker, a social media influencer, it all does come back to the content of that material. And it is about realness and vulnerability.
Right.
And along with that comes mental health, anxiety, depression, as well as body image, having past issues with food and how I ate and how I looked in the mirror. I will say, though, I am currently struggling. Is this a therapy session?
Yeah, Vic's laying with her feet up.
I'm literally laying the way I would in therapy. And I feel like Aubrey's like asking me a simple question. And I'm like, so at the heart of this.
Let me just unload everything up until here.
Yeah, I guess where I'm with now is, you know, I do feel like there are so many buckets that I do. Like, I'm also the founder of a nonprofit that's really important to me. And I feel like that doesn't get enough light and attention. That's the hidden opponent. So
that's like low-key the coolest thing that you do.
It's so incredibly special. And so I guess similarly with this, you know, who I was then and who I am now, I definitely feel like it's not clear to me what exactly, well, it's not clear to me what I do, but I
what
do
your title is?
Struggle when it's everyone who follows me or listens to me or whatever, they view me as something different for them. Lots of people will say,
oh, totally.
You're the body image girl, eating disorder, recovery girl. Other people will say, you are the athlete who talks about anxiety.
Right.
Other people will say, you know, I love this and that.
And honestly, then we got the haiku homies. Yeah. And that's a whole different category.
The haiku homies. Let's freaking ride. So, you know, I think I have an identity like struggle with that too, because totally. I never know what people want from me.
Right.
And then lastly, about my personality was part of the question. I would consider myself outgoing, confident socially, like fearless. You know, like I'll grab the mic, I'll stand up in front of a crowd.
And you've always been like that.
Yeah, I will say I do get insecure about people thinking I might be more positive than I really am.
This was my next question. Can I go into it?
Yeah.
My next question was, what is your personality really like? Are you generally really bubbly? Or do you feel like you always have to have an expectation to be happy and mindful because your whole life is online?
Right. I never act differently than how I feel. So I think that's the most important thing is if I'm posting something, me thinking of like a video I had to film when I was in a bad mood, but I had to film it.
I'm always authentic until I need to work.
I'm always authentic unless there's a contact and I have to submit a video. No, but I would never lie about like my emotions. Like I've never said it's a great day when it's not a great day. However, I do think it is a lot harder to pull out the camera and film when you're not feeling amazing. So when people consume my content, yes, they are seeing a very positive version of me. And I do get candid about the times I'm not feeling amazing. I just think I can be a little bit more like, I don't even want to use the word bitchy, but I definitely can be reserved.
Like, I was going to say reserved. Yeah. Not bitchy at all.
I definitely can be quiet and like not approachable.
Right.
Which I think would be wild for people
like,
to
right.
hear.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm just like, yeah, that's you. We're out at the bars this weekend meeting people. And I'm just like, I don't want to talk to anyone. I'm like, I hate small talk. I'm like, if someone can talk to me, I don't even want to talk. Like,
we're like in the bathroom. She's like, oh my God, are you just drained? I'm like, no, we're at a party.
But you know what? I go in waves because the weekend totally. Before that, I'm so outgoing. I want to meet people. Yeah. I go in phases. I can be very introverted. I can be very extroverted.
Yeah. And but you're never acting differently than how you're feeling in that moment.
Yeah.
Ever. Even if that comes off reserved, unapproachable. Definitely. It's authentic.
And I'm never, I would never, as, yeah. that's not it at all. I just think I definitely have moments where I don't want to make a new friend. I don't want to have a conversation that's surface level. Like, and I don't know why that is, but on other times I feel like no one would ever know that. Like if someone did come up to me and was like, hey, it's so nice to meet you. Like they would never know that. Yeah. I was thinking, oh my God, I wish I was like alone in my room right now.
Right. Except for your close friends. Victoria is so real that she cannot hide a single emotion on her face. Like everything she is thinking is written all over her face, which makes it easy to be authentic and real all the time.
No, it's really bad though. Like I can't even like Aubrey will look at me, Victoria. Face because we're somewhere with people and my face is just like, I hate this.
She's literally standing there with like earplugs in, being like, okay, can we go now?
Yeah, no, yeah, I have earplugs into the concert. Yeah, but wait, to reiterate, I hate that the B word was.
I know that was not accurate.
I said that about myself, which just goes to show that I feel like that my anxiety voice that's always criticizing me in my head right. is like, if you're not always happy, then you're a bitch.
Right.
And like, that's
I feel like
just,
that's like a baseline feminist concept.
Right.
Like, you don't have to be smiling all the time right. as a woman.
Oh my God. I love that you just said that. It's so true. Like, but the way I perceive myself is if I'm not always nice and happy and smiling, the voice in my head's telling me like I'm the worst.
Totally.
So I think I honestly love that. We just called that out.
No, totally.
See, this is therapy.
And like guys never worry about that if they're right. not smiling.
They're just like, oh, I'm not in the mood.
Sorry,
or like I don't want to like
breaking the glass ceiling with Victoria Garrick. this is a good lead into my next question of what is something people misunderstand about you?
I love this. This is my favorite question, actually, and we're not really strangers. This is a question in that game. You know, the thing that I keep coming back to is, and I don't know if this is really how others perceive me, so you could tell me, right. but sometimes I feel like the way that my experiences with mental health and binge eating and stuff are viewed or talked about, it's almost like thrice removed.
Yes.
And it's all about like me inspiring or in this weird way, I still, oh my God, am I going to cry? Oh my God.
Oh, I'm a good host.
In this weird way,
yeah,
I still feel like people don't understand like what that really felt like for me.
Absolutely.
Like I feel like I think this is something that has been tough for me recently is like what I talk about is so real for me.
Totally.
But I have no choice but to put on this business hat and think, well, is this good content? Would this go viral? Would this help someone? How does this grab someone's attention when they're scrolling on a feed? You know, like it's like I have so many hats that I wear that when I do zoom out and I think like the content of this post is suicide prevention or it is my performance anxiety or it's like compulsive eating, it's really dark for me. And I was on the phone with my mentor, Nicole, last week. This is before the Ithaca talk when I was freaking out. And I was just saying, I was like, I feel like I put on this face and I like give this presentation and I like tell the story because like it's so hard for me to just like think about and like really feel the words that I'm saying.
Right.
And she's like, okay, like so you're dissociating.
You're like, oh, I thought it was just a performance.
I know. I'm like, whoa, you know? And so, I mean, it is so hard for me to be present with the words that I'm saying. It's emotionally taxing.
Totally.
But then as a result, I feel really weird about it. What was the question?
What is something people misunderstand about you? That's okay. Keep going.
Okay.
You created this podcast for guests to come on and cry, and today you are the guest. So let's continue the tears.
I fucking love that. No, but that, why is that so true?
Like, it's so true.
And Aubrey's like, so what about you? Feels, I hear the word misunderstood. I just start crying. Yeah. You know, I guess I feel like that's it. Like, I feel like people will say, oh my God, like you're the mental health advocate and it's such a surface level thing for me. And I'm like, no, like, I thought about dying.
No, literally. Like, it's like I, at the beginning of this, we were like, no one asks you how you are today. And like, yes, yes, you had these traumas that you talk about all the time. Like, we've come out of them, but like, you live that, you
right,
know?
Right, exactly. And so I think I'm in a place in my life where it really, really has been hard for me to keep doing that. And
totally.
I, like I said this on the phone with Nicole, I'm like, sometimes like, just to me, I was really zooming out on my life that day. And I was like, okay, like I'm literally about to like throw myself emotionally and mentally back into a mindset that I was in 4 years ago. Like I literally pulled up my TED Talk to like get in the zone.
Right.
Like, I pulled up, I was like, I gotta remember like how these athletes are feeling that I'm about to speak to so I can connect with them. I pull up my TED Talk. I literally start crying in the first like 3 seconds of watching it because I'm just like immediately remembering like how much pain I felt
right,
like on that stage that day. And so I think my zooming out thing is like, here's a girl that is so happy right now.
Right.
She's engaged to the love of her life. She's got amazing friends. She like, oh my God.
Aww.
This is so sad.
No.
And like, she finally figured out like a social life and has friends and like is enjoying it. And I'm sitting in my room trying to throw myself into this mindset that I worked so hard to get out of.
Totally.
Oh my God.
Totally.
Sorry. I like to
don't know be sorry.
This
is the point.
Oh my God. But, I'm like having a breakdown.
No, but most people have the luxury of resolving their trauma after they live it and then moving on and continuing.
And
with
no
their
one
life.
Even knows.
No
like,
one.
They
no
only talk to their therapist
yes,
about it.
Yes. Yes.
And I think too, another component of this is like, well, if I am a happy girl who's happy and starts posting about her engagement and her fun life, am I not relatable?
Right.
Do people not care about
right.
me anymore?
No.
And that's
I mean,
hard for me. I do I have know. This fear of being abandoned by everyone who says that they like love me. I'm like, well, do you only love me when it's like
when it's
at
like
cost to
raw?
Me almost?
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that is something I struggle with. Okay, what's next? No,
I mean, holy shit, this is going well. All right.
This could not be more perfect because today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. And I say perfect because literally after recording this episode with Aubrey, I scheduled a therapy appointment because I was like, yeah, I need to talk to someone. It just sounds like I'm struggling with something I can't figure out myself. And I would love the help and the extra ears while I'm going through this. And it is so important to ask for help if we feel that way or if we just want to check in. And if you go to betterhelp.com/realpod, they will assess your needs, whether it's anxiety, depression, relationships, trauma, grief, or family conflicts. BetterHelp will match you with your own licensed professional therapist who can start communicating with you in just under 48 hours. The coolest part is that you can message your counselor anytime and get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions all without having to sit in a waiting room. You can do this from the comfort of your bed, your house, your college dorm, whatever it is, you can access this on your phone. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. And I love this feature of BetterHelp because it's so important you vibe with your counselor and they really allow you to make sure that that happens. BetterHelp is more convenient and affordable than in-person therapy, and financial aid is even making it even more affordable. In fact, BetterHelp has become so popular that they are now recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online. So if you want to start living a happier life today, you can get 10% off your first month as a RealPod listener by visiting our sponsor at betterhelp.com/realpod. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, that's betterhelp, HELP.com/realpod.
Okay. Oh, here we go. In what way are you still growing in your self-love journey?
Mm. Yeah, I love this.
It's a little more uplifting.
Yeah. You know, I think the biggest thing I'm trying to step into, which is, oh, this is unique. Gosh, this is like when you and your best friend think you're therapists. This is us
this
right
is
now.
This is us.
We do this all the time.
We like, do this all the time.
Like when you think you're a therapist, I'm like, oh my God, I have a thing and I'm drawing a conclusion. And like, I'm pulling it, tying it back to earlier in my life. Okay, so I think I'm currently trying to give myself the courage and be brave enough to be who I want to be right now. And like even if it is not going to be relatable for someone, or if they came here for eating disorder recovery and I'm not posting about that anymore because I want to talk about these other, like the wedding or these other things.
Right.
And I don't, there's not, the only thing I want to talk about in my life isn't this wedding, you guys, but like that just keeps coming to mind as an example.
Totally.
Because I do feel like I like haven't been able to really live in that as much because of what I do. So I think I'm currently trying to give myself the confidence to be who I want to be right now and do what I want to do, even if it means people are going to unfollow me and they're not going to care anymore. And the thing that makes it so interesting, are you with me on this?
Keep going.
Was that this is how everything started, was I was like, hashtag real post.
Yes.
Because I don't care anymore about looking perfect and being pretty and trying to do this thing that people want me to do, like in my little social life at USC. And so I went hashtag real post. And did I lose followers and likes? Yes. Yeah. But then it like led me on this journey to being here now. And now I think I'm at a new crossroads of like, well, am I really going to step into what hashtag real post means, which is I want to be myself now.
Right. Like a hashtag real post doesn't have to be only based on the negative and the sad and the traumas. Like, hashtag real post could be happy shit that's happening to you now.
Right. And so that's what I'm currently teetering with, is like really stepping into what I want my like 24th year of life to be about, regardless of what I think others want it to be.
Yeah. That's moving. Truly. Has your mental health taken a toll since your platform increased? What boundaries do you set for yourself?
I actually think like my mental health has never been as bad as it was like my sophomore year of college, junior year of college.
Yes. It was a little dark.
Aubrey's like, I relate.
A little dark.
We were roommates at the time.
Oh, that was a sad going little room.
That was a sad little room.
Tiny little teensy room.
Oh my God, that was that
we
dark.
Were, our mental health was so bad that we thought that we had black mold. We were like, it can't be us.
Oh yeah. We did. We were like, why are we so messed up in the head? We're like, there's got to be mold in here. We're like opening all the cabinets, trying to find black mold. It's just us.
Just like, how about we open that box you put away in your head instead?
Literally. Okay. What was the question?
Sorry. Okay.
How was
your mental health taking a toll? And what boundaries do you set?
I actually think social media and my relationship with my audience has meant so much to me that it is only been great, really. I haven't felt as down in any way, shape, or form as I did, you know, at that time in my life. So it's only been really positive for me. I will say sometimes I do feel so connected to people online and not connected to those in my life. Like that was something that I struggled with last year during the pandemic, was like once I guess like I had this moment where I thought, oh my God, I have all these messages and these people who are like, I would love to be your best friend. I would kill to go to the movies with you. You know, you're so cool. And then I would like put my app away and I'd have no texts. Like no one's asking me to hang out. Like the girls I do know don't want to be friends with me. You know, like that's how I felt. And you guys are probably thinking, well, how's Aubrey? Aubrey's always been my main bitch.
I ain't going fucking nowhere.
Yeah, but her and Natalie live in San Francisco. So I just never, like, you know, when I talk about LA, like, I just didn't have people there. So I think, you know, it hasn't taken a toll on my mental health. I will say it is a really weird dynamic to go from this place on my phone where hundreds of thousands of people like me and want my attention. Yeah. And then when I put my phone away, there's only a few people in my life.
Totally. Totally. That's a good follow-up. With your close friends, how do you approach your mental health and like maintaining those relationships while also sharing on Instagram?
Yeah. And this is funny because one of my biggest things that was really affecting me was because my platform is so real and honest, I am always sharing what's going on to the point where like a guy who I used to take Jor 306 with at USC Annenberg, like when I run into him 3 years later, he's like, apartment with Max looks good. Saw you were struggling with this and there. Like he knows everything about, I like barely even know this guy. And I am like, I haven't seen you in 3 years. I don't even know anything about you. And he knows everything just from keeping up with my Instagram.
Right.
And so what was happening was my really good friends, like were becoming desensitized
totally
to me and my feelings because I'm always posting it. And I understand that. Like if I'm thinking roles reverse, like if you were always posting about every little up and down, and then I was always calling and texting you like, hey, I saw this on Instagram, like, how are you feeling? Or blah, 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 blah. Like I eventually would just become desensitized. I'm like, oh, Aubrey is just posting these things. That's what she does. And so that's what happened to me, is I would be posting how I really felt, and none of my friends would reach out like, oh my God, you had this horrible day, or I know you've been feeling anxious this week, or you've been depressed. Like, no one would reach out. And then I was like, damn. I was like, I see all my friends who are viewing this story that's really like hard for me, but none of them are checking in on me.
Right, right. And as you guys, please don't come for me. Please don't come for me. I'm just going
to... Well, before you even say what you're about to say, let's give them the more of the story is...
I was going to... Okay, so basically, Victoria called me, I think it was like mid-COVID, and she was like, hi, like, you never call me, you never check in on me, like, I feel like we're falling out of touch. And in my head, I'm like, I know exactly what's going on with you all the time.
Like, I don't need to catch up with you.
Right. So like, we kind of had this realization, and I was like, I need to mute your story so that we can...
Well, you didn't even tell me that. You just did
it. Oh, I just did it. And then our relationship got so much better.
Yeah. Aubrey muted my Instagram stories, but now she'll call me and be like, hey, what'd you do this weekend?
Yeah.
And it's nice for me because I'm like, oh, you didn't see it on Instagram. Right. I'm like, well, I did this and that. And,
yeah.
Or she's like, how are you feeling? And so I thought that was so interesting because I didn't even think about, you know, how it might feel for a friend, like why they weren't reaching out, as Aubrey's like, I am 1,000% up to speed. Like,
right.
I follow you online.
Yeah.
And that, you know, and so I thought that's actually been a really good solution for us, because you'll be like, you know, asking me these basic questions that I miss people asking me.
Right. No, and I think it like allows us to have our organic friendship that we've always had without...
Right.
Me following your YouTubes to see your apartment. You
right.
know what I mean?
And if, like, right. Like, I can actually FaceTime you and show you my apartment like a normal friend would.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. And exactly. But if I do have a funny story, I'll send it to her. Like, you have to see this.
Yeah. And like, when we're like messaging, it's not like I never watch your stories. It's just like, it's not always popping up. Like, yeah. Victoria posted the story.
But so, yeah, I mean, that's an example of how it's been tough to navigate like my real close relationships with online.
Wait. So on the same note, do people get annoyed with your filming and content, and do you ever want to just be able to completely unplug?
By people, you mean like friends and family?
Friends and family, just people around you. Mm-hmm. I guess, I mean, even Max, like, you know,
it's so funny that you asked that, because Max, one of the things that he does without me even asking him that I am so grateful for, and it helps make our relationship so solid given my career, is he never has ever snapped at me, put your phone away, like, stop looking at your phone, stop posting. Like, and that to me has been great, because, and I've addressed it with him. I was like, I just want to say thank you for like if we're going out on a date night and we are leaving at 7, I hop in the car and I'm like, sorry, I'm just finished. Like, when, because content just happens. Like,
right.
We're in the elevator. I'm like, oh my God, our outfits are like, I'm feeling like my jeans are too tight. I want to quickly post a story about this. He's never like, babe, yeah, it's date night, put your phone away.
Right.
Which is, I'm so lucky and thankful that he allows me that space to be creative, because content is a full-time job. And if I'm having a feeling in the moment, most of the times I want to share and I want to post about it. So I'm so glad that, like, I don't think our relationship could work with my job if he didn't give me that. And I will say, I am mature and self-aware enough to know when, like, I got to put my phone away. Like, I'm at dinner and I want to focus with him. I will say, with friends and family, I definitely do try to be cautious of it. Even like Natalie one time came to visit me in LA, and my mom like came to lunch with us. It was something along the lines of like halfway through the day, Natalie was like, we were like kind of like feeling weird with each other. Like, we knew there was something up. And like, I was feeling like my mom bulldozed into my lunch with my friend and like just took over the whole conversation. And I was annoyed because this is my friend who's in town. I never see her. I'm like, mom, I know you love my friend, Natalie, but like, whatever. And then because they were doing that, I pulled out my phone because I was like, I don't want to sit here and feel like the third wheel of my mom and my friend who came to visit me.
Right.
So I pulled out my phone. And
shout
then,
out, Lainey.
Yeah. Halfway through the day, Natalie was annoyed with me because she was like, you're just on your phone. I've been talking to your mom all day. And I was like, well, I'm annoyed that like you've been talking with my mom all day. So that was
That's a really good point, Diane. Thank you for bringing that up.
I thought that was like a really good call out. And that's just an example of someone being like, look, I want to spend time with you. Like, you're on your phone. And me realizing my phone's become a safety for me.
Right.
When I don't feel like I'm involved in a situation or I'm excluded or I'm not in like whatever, I turn to it.
Do you feel like it's like you can go online to get that validation rather than like be in I don't know, when you're not getting in person with your friend, like, do you think you can go to your fans and followers and like get that out of that?
Yeah, that's a super interesting thing to bring up. You know, I don't think I do.
Okay.
I will say though, there are days where I am alone in my apartment or I'm alone at night and I can be like, let's do a Q&A. And then I can have this like really, like I can turn to that to have conversations with hundreds of people and ask. Sometimes I'll be like, tell me about what you're doing tonight. Like, you know, or I can go live. And so I do think I have an interesting cop out for the nights that someone else might just have to sit in silence.
Because I feel like social media for most people without a following is a source of anxiety. Like if I'm alone in my apartment on a Saturday night with nothing to do and I go online and I just get severe FOMO.
That's so true.
Looking at all these people at concerts and out and with all their friends, like that's horrible. That's the last thing I want to do.
Right. That's so true. Whereas for me, social media is such a positive place where I feel, I will say though, I do have, I think my FOMO comes from like, oh my God, that influencer got invited to this event or everyone's talking about her, but like, why not this, you know? So I do think that's been something I've had to mute some of my friends who always do cool things, who go on these trips, who do X, Y, Z. And I'm like, well, why didn't I get that deal? Or why didn't that brand reach out to me? So, you know, that's my version of it.
Yeah. It's like, there's always
something.
There's always some form of like, I don't know, FOMO on social media. I feel like we might have covered this, but I feel like you've come so far in your social life with friends. Do you kind of want to share where you're at now with that?
Yeah.
I feel like your followers were there for you when you were like, I have no friends at all.
Yeah. Yeah. This has been something that's been like really exciting for me this past like 2021, honestly. I always was someone who was very closed off to lots of friendships. Like I was like, I have my, literally, I was like, I have Aubrey and Natalie and Max. And so I was like, you know, I like, what more could a person need? But in a bad way, I like didn't let myself open up. Oh, and I had these standards. So I would open up to people, but if they weren't like immediately my best friend, super trustworthy, like if they didn't act exactly how I wanted them to, like I was like, no, I don't want to be friends with you. So I had this really unhealthy, insecure, like high expectation approach to friends. And as a result, I never really was able to make any friendships outside of like the three close ones that I had. And that made me feel really insecure. I did not feel like I had a girl group. I mean, you know, every birthday from the past like pretty much 4 or 5 years has been, I'm so anxious about my birthday because everyone does these dinners, everyone has these pictures and these friend groups. And I'm like, well, Natalie goes to different school, Max is at Pittsburgh, Aubrey's at SC. And like, I'm going to invite Aubrey's friends who are my friends only because they're friends with Aubrey. Like, and I'm inviting these girls from the team. We don't know. Like, I just always felt like I don't have this group and I felt so insecure about it. Over the pandemic, I really had time to reflect. And a few things that I learned were like the way that I was the problem causing this, you know, I used to think, oh, it's other people are not good enough or they're not, no one's as good a friend or they don't get it. But really it was me. It was two things I really had to change that have allowed me to feel like I'm making such better friendships now. And the two things were that I kind of sat down and realized and then wanted to put into action was not taking things personally. So if someone doesn't invite me somewhere, if they don't text me and reach out, if they're not the one that invites me first, not take that personally. Everyone is different. It might not mean they hate Victoria Garrick and they don't want to be my friend. That just might be how they roll. And so not taking things personally has been huge because I used to be like one and done. If you don't invite me, if you do this, I don't like you. So that's been huge. I've allowed myself more forgiveness to understand everyone has their own lives. It's not about me. The second was not labeling things. I feel like I approached friendships like dating. Like I was on the first date, like, could you be a bridesmaid? You know, like the same way girls.
That's how I approach Hinge dates. I'm like, maybe you're my husband.
No, literally. And that's how
that's not going to work.
Exactly. That's how I was approaching friendships. And I was so analytical and like, I didn't allow anyone a chance. And so.
You should tell that story about when you went to lunch with that girl.
Oh, yeah. I went to lunch with a girl who was Aubrey's friend. And I was like trying to create a friendship with her. And I was looking back to Aubrey. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, she was on her phone her whole time. She didn't like ask me questions about me. And Aubrey, what'd you say?
Yeah, Victoria was like, I was so present the entire time. And like, she seemed like she had other places to be. And I was like, Yeah, but this girl doesn't know that you just took her on a friend date to interview her as number four on her list for like best friends.
Right.
Like, this girl was like, oh, cool. I'll grab
Aubrey's like,
with
you approached this like picking out your outfit, thinking about being friends forever. And she was just like, yeah, I'll grab lunch with you, Vic.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. She didn't care.
So not labeling things has been huge. Just like, I have a relationship with this person and I'm not going to think about if they're a bridesmaid. I'm not going to think about if they're a best friend. I'm not going to think about, like, I'm just being present with this person. I'm enjoying life with them. That's been huge. And then third is like giving everyone an opportunity, like to get to know them. And so, and making an effort, you know, and through that, I really feel like I've been able to create like a few more friendships this year that have been really special to me. And I do feel like I have things to do on the weekends and I have a social life. And even like my mom will be like, I'm so happy for you. You got all these things to do because I didn't before.
I know. And like even talking about wedding stuff, bridesmaids, whatever, it's so solid.
Well, I think I have been the one trying to push back with like, not you. Like, I do feel like I have tried to embody those like guidelines. I don't like the word rules, but those like friendship guidelines. So much so that even when my mom will be like, wait, this person, you want them there?
Oh, me too. Oh, yeah. You've been
doing that to me too. You know what? I'm like, yeah, like at this stage in my life, like, you know, I think.
I'm like, I don't know you anymore.
So now I think I'm the opposite.
I'm like, oh God, she's so inclusive. I don't know these people. Like, all right, Vic, whatever you want. No, but it's so good. Like Victoria's main thing with this wedding has been being like, well, why would I draw a line in the sand with this person?
Right. I don't like, that's the tough thing about weddings is with invites and all this stuff. It's like, you really feel like you're drawing a line in the sand and I don't want to be the one to do that. It's, you know.
Especially because she's the first one.
To get married, yeah.
And then people, I think, receive the invitation or lack thereof as like a message about your relationship with them. You know what I mean?
Back to the note of friendships though. Speaking of drawing a line in the sand and like how I was very black and white with friends. I recently had a friend do something that like was kind of shady. And I... in the past would have been like, I'm going to call her out right now. I am going to get to the bottom of this. I can't believe, you know, X, Y, Z. But in this situation, I was like, okay, I saw a true color. And can I understand why this person did that and understand that they probably know what they did and they feel insecure about it? And like I had such a mature approach to this and I'm still close with this person and I love her. But that's not how the old me would have handled it.
Oh, not at all.
And I think it just showed me a lot of maturity. Like, I don't have to call everything out. I don't have to. I can just keep notes and understand everyone's got their own agendas. And like, you know.
Again, not take it personally.
And I can feel for them. Like, I think compassion has been huge for me is other people have feelings and thoughts and agendas in life. And that's great for them the same way I do. It's not always me and how people can serve my agenda. You know?
Right. Totally. Like approaching things with empathy, I think, is huge.
Right.
Let's circle back to your profession a little bit more because I think that's interesting. What are your goals 10 years from now? That's
okay. Okay. Just drop that bomb.
Anyways.
anyways, Vic, 10 years from now, what do you want me?
I'm like, not an hour or two from now, not 2 years, 10 years.
Yeah. So I was, and I've said this actually on a few different podcasts, but I'm glad I'm sharing it on Real Pod for, you know, my Real Pod squad. I was so goal-oriented my whole life with volleyball, even high school. I want these grades. I want to go to this school. Volleyball, I want to start. I want to do this. I want to be here. So goal-oriented. And I really do feel like I missed out on the process because of that.
Interesting.
So in my professional life, I swear to God, I am just trying to wake up every day, be true to myself, serve the people who support me to the best of my abilities, go to bed and do that the next day and do that the next day. And I hope that when I look back 5-10 years from now, I'm somewhere pretty cool. And I think in doing that, it has allowed me to be open to opportunities that arise, consider things. I once heard someone say, if you set a goal for yourself, you're also setting a limit because...
Oh, I love that.
That's what your mind thinks you can do. And what if you could do more, you could do different?
Oh, interesting.
The person that actually said that was Ron Boss Everline on an episode of Real Pod. He's Kevin Hart's personal trainer. If you want motivation, go scroll down and listen to Ron Boss Everline's episode. But he basically said that to me. And he was like, you know, he was like, you say, oh, I want to be here. Well, what if you could have been higher than that? What if someone approached you about something different and you didn't consider it because you in the past predetermined where you wanted to be in the future? Yeah. And so I love that. And so, you know, I don't know where I'll be in 10 years. I hope it's somewhere where I feel fulfilled and happy. And I also think I can feel however I want to feel in 10 years. I have the power and the ability to feel right now. You know?
Yeah.
I don't need whatever.
It's like a very mature answer.
Yeah.
Because you are so goal oriented usually, mm-hmm. you know?
And I think that that has almost been like to my detriment in the past. And I think that what I just said, I think is the most important thing for me is I can cultivate the happiness and the joy right now. Like literally what don't we all currently, like we have blessings, we have things in life that we need to appreciate and that can bring us joy, right? It's like Dr. Vrun Soni said on Real Pod, happiness is not a place you arrive to. It's a state you cultivate. It's not somewhere you're going to get or you're going to be when you get money or you get a ticket or you get a job. It is something you can cultivate around you right now. And so and this is hard for me. I'm doing my best to reel in all my hopes and dreams and be like, right now, let's enjoy life. Like even with Max, like just this year celebrating our love and what that's like, I really want to live in that happiness and that like this is joyous.
Yes. Like this is the goal you set, like as a little, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think the goal.
Not that getting engaged was a goal, but like.
I think the goal for me is being present and finding happiness like today.
Yeah. How do you then balance that with motivating? Because I think having goals is a huge motivating factor towards getting places.
Great question, interviewer Aubrey.
Oh my God, thank you. I just came up with them.
I know.
Oh, man.
And did you
see me not look at the phone?
I saw you didn't look at your little list. You just came up with that. It's a great question. And that's a really great question. I've never been on the other side of a great question. Like when you dish it out to someone and then you just get to sit there and watch them answer it. But now I have to do
I'm
that.
Like now squirm.
Yeah. I definitely think the way that I do it is I allow myself to have those goals and I write them down and I figure out how I'm going to work towards something and wanting to put in to get that goal while remembering that is not going to make or break my life.
And that's not the key to happiness.
Right.
Okay.
Do I eventually want to possibly write a book? And does the part of me who's an achiever say, I want it to be a New York Times bestseller?
Yes.
Of course. Like, you know, like if I'm going to go through effort and write a book, I would love an accolade, which is horrible to say. But see, that's the motivator in me.
There we go.
But then the new Zen me is trying to be like, well, Victoria, the book is about getting your story on paper. And if one person buys it and no one knows about it, that is enough. And I'm like, no, screw you.
Yeah. It's like this internal battle of different personalities.
Right. So I think, you know, that's the answer there is, of course, I have goals and I want to be motivated and I want to achieve them while also trying to remind myself on the other side of whatever happens, I will be fine.
I also liked your use of the words hopes and dreams, like in the same breath as goals. Like I think hopes and dreams is like things you aspire towards rather than like goals, like setting a limit. This is where I need to be.
It comes back to perspective, which is Max Brown's bread and butter word, baby. Aww. Perspective. As long as you can have perspective on everything while you're going through it, that's going to be the key.
Okay, I'm going to finish it off with this question. What are you most proud of? I feel like you have so many things that you've created and that you've struggled out of and that you've grown into. What tops that list?
Oh my God, I don't even know. If I'm speaking out loud, it's proud is a tough word because it is also pride. Pride is like you have pride in something, you're proud of it. But isn't pride like a bad thing?
You're like, having too much pride is like when you can't say sorry or like you have too much pride to like admit you're wrong, you know?
Okay, that's helpful to know because I have so many things I'm proud of. Like I don't even want to.
It doesn't have to be a concrete thing.
I guess a lot of things come to mind. Like, I think I'm really fucking proud of like what I did at USC. Like,
totally
that I played in every single game for 4 years. Like, I just like I was valuable to that program, and no one thought I would be, and I worked really hard to do that, and there were a lot of people that couldn't, and I figured out how to swim like at that school and I'm proud of that. I think I also sometimes have flashbacks to how toxic my relationship with my body used to be.
Yeah.
And I think even like you and Nat and like even people in my life, like you guys know me now is like, isn't it crazy how you're like, oh, Vic would never let us say this about our bodies.
Yes.
Vic would encourage us to have dinner and eat whatever we want.
Oh, yeah.
I was not like that.
It was the exact
I was
opposite.
The one that was calling you guys like, we're all going on diets.
Yeah. I was like, oh, okay, we're having grapes for lunch and we're 12. All
no,
right.
No, we were literally 12. And I was like, yes. Aubrey, we are going to have this for, like, I was the worst.
Oh, my God. And I was like, yes, master. I will have three
Let's
grapes
lose
for
weight.
Lunch.
Yeah, no.
It was to the point where the teacher on lunch duty had to like come and hover over us to make sure we were eating. And I would secretly throw my sandwich away.
Right. Oh my God. So sometimes I have these flashbacks of like, I mean, I remember reading this line in Janine Roth's book, Breaking Free from Emotional Eating. And it was like about this woman who got a box of chocolates and like forgot that she had the chocolates and they went stale. And I just remember reading that line, like, I will never.
Yeah.
Be that girl. Like, I am too obsessed with food. I am too obsessed with my body. And I sometimes will have these moments where I am really proud of how far I've come with that because it's given me so much freedom in life.
Totally.
To just sit with my body the way it is and to like have such a healthy relationship with food. There's just so much like more life to live when you're not consumed with that. And I think that's something I'm really proud of. I'm super proud of the hidden opponent, like we mentioned earlier. I mean, the amount of athletes that are a part of that who are impacted. And that is such like a side passion project. It might seem on my page. Like, I think even people are like, wait, what is this when I post about it? Even like my friends and family are like, what is this thing you do? And I'm like, oh, like the literal charity that like...
I started with Kobe fucking Bryant.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, and that's even crazy is that, you know... Kobe at the time believed in that. And so, you know, and now there's like so many amazing people who work on that and volunteer their time every day who, you know, deserve so much thanks and the athletes that are a part of it. And, you know, so I'm proud of that. I think, and I in general, I'm just proud of, I think, my growth that I've had as a person. You know, that's all comes to
it's
mind.
It's been so powerful to watch you from who we all were in high school to who you are now. Like, it's just, you're the same person with your value. You've never changed with who you are, but like you've shifted who you are and those things that, those character traits that like make you up into like such a powerful, like,
right, like
positive energy. Like, it's like you could do, she's always had such this like powerful energy inside of her. And it's like, you could use it for good or evil. And
like, I was just thinking that. Like, that's so funny.
Like, whatever she was going to do, it was going to be big. It was going to be electric. And like, thank God you chose to do good with it.
Right. I'm like, I was like a breath away from like having my own like diet.
Totally.
Diet workout and
totally.
Like skinny me tea that I would have been selling. Well, it's funny you say that because people always say like, how are you able to like give your TED talk and share your mental health story?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I was always outgoing and like grab me the mic and put me on stage.
Totally.
So when I realized that there was such a stigma and I had been the one to finally personally experience depression, anxiety, and body image issues, I was like, give me the freaking mic.
Literally.
Like, why are we talking about this? You know? So that's so true.
She could have been made for
literally,
evil.
I'm just like imagining like a superhero, super villain
no,
movie.
Like anti would be like telling everyone to diet.
No, totally. I'm like imagining your foil character as
One of those girls who sells like skinny tea in a pyramid scheme.
No,
like,
literally. Thank God that she did not. Thank God that this is the seed that grew from the root.
Literally. Thank God that foil character died.
Oh my God. This was so
this
great.
Was so much fun. Thank you so much for allowing
on your
me
show.
The opportunity.
Yes.
Thank you so much for coming on my show. I'll be back next week. Stay tuned. Subscribe below. No, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to interview you. I feel like it's such a privilege.
Oh,
and
of course.
Feel so honored.
Of course. You're the best. And I thought this went so well. I just knew with you, I would be able to, even like when I want to have Max do this, because I'm like, the people do love Max. It's just always Aubrey. It's always gotta come back to Aubrey.
Wait, I'm so sorry, Max. I do love you.
Well, but like I'll be like crying because something happened, and I'll be like, okay, I'm gonna call Max. I'm gonna give him the chance to console me because we need to work on this. Because Max is not good at comforting me. The man is just toxic positivity, but he can't help it. And so I always, a minute into the call, I'm like, why the F didn't I call? And then I hang up and I call you. Wait, you have to tell everyone
what
we were talking about with, you were like the other night, you're like, we are like a year away from you having to choose Matt.
Oh my God. Okay. So Victoria and I have always like had this thing with like boyfriends, whatever, like.
Family.
Oh, family's been on the, basically like the analogy is like, if you and X person were hanging off a cliff, like I'd obviously save you. Like,
no, but like,
it's gone a little too far. No, like we've
like, so like literally I would have to choose you.
Like I would have the privilege of course I would choose you. And the other night we're having this little sleepover and I was like, oh my God, Vic. We're a year away from you having to choose Max off the ledge of a cliff. Like I knew this day would come, but like, oh
and
God.
She was like so sad about it.
I was so sad. And she was like, well, maybe not till he's the father of my children. I was like, okay, then I have a couple more years.
That was so funny when you said that. She was like actually so sad. She's like, he's gonna be your number one.
I was like, oh God, no one's gonna save me off the cliff now. Like I'm alone.
But yeah, oh my God, hilarious. Well, thanks for interviewing me. This was great. I love everyone who's listening to this. Thank you for tuning in to an episode about me.
I know, God forbid.
And with this whole thing has just been a celebration of RealPod being over 1 million downloads, which is freaking crazy. Over 100 episodes. And I am so, so grateful. And this is something I'm proud of. You know, like the podcast for the first 50 weeks and 50 episodes did not make a dime. No one helped me. It was not with a network. And it took a lot. And the only reason I did it was because people were listening. And that meant so much to me. So thanks for tuning in, you know, to this podcast where, like Aubrey said, it's about coming on and just getting real and doing, like, I think today was the perfect example of what I wanted this show to be. So I love you guys. Thank you so much. If you got all the way to the end of this episode, let's do a fun little like Easter egg. Like, please go comment on the Instagram.
The cliff emoji.
The cliff emoji. Wait, is that too dark?
No, it's so funny.
Okay, because if you really did make it to the end. Okay, or you can comment a heart. You know, just let us know you listen.
Just let us know.
But love you guys so much and thank you for listening. Bye now.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of RealPod. If this hit home or helped you in some way, send it to a friend, a teammate, roomie, share the love, share the realness. New episodes of RealPod come out every single Wednesday. So make sure you are subscribed to this podcast so you never miss an episode. To leave a rating or a review of the show, head to iTunes and let me know what you think. I love hearing from you. Not to mention, you can stay connected with RealPod throughout the week, seeing behind-the-scenes info and sneak previews of upcoming guests by following the @RealPod account on Instagram. All information about today's show and guests will be linked in the description of this episode. Thanks again for listening. I love you guys so, so much. Let's go dominate the day. And as always, keep it real.